Come on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 139 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, October 8th. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about the beginning of the season, penalties, and injured forwards. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And Mr. Jive.
Good evening.
Hey, so first show officially of the season?
Yeah, not a guessing game anymore. Like, yeah. We actually got stuff to talk about.
Well, we always have stuff.
We always have stuff to talk about, but I mean, like actually, like legit wild hockey,
real games. You know, real games. Real games. That sounds like a bit of a oxymoron.
Because have we had a rivalry?
Real rivalry Wednesday.
Yes. One of those.
Right.
It's hard to get that out.
Yeah, well, especially when our real rivalry Wednesday is against like Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a rivalry.
Yeah,
well, I'm telling you, man. Anybody who plays Philly, though, it's a rivalry, right?
We're basically right next to Philly.
Yeah,
same time zone at least, right?
Oh wait,
not quite.
Huh?
Yeah, so we're doing a podcast on Sunday as opposed to our normal Monday nights.
Special Sunday night edition.
Yes.
Sunday.
Jive and I will be departing this.
Well, hopefully not departing.
The greener pastures of Minnesota here. Yep. And, due to a work travel.
Yep.
Going to Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
It wasn't us.
As attendees, not shooters.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we talk hockey?
Speaking of, Zucker's gloves. Do you see his wrists with...
the names of the friends?
The friends that got shot during the attack in Vegas, actually. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hockey, you like my segue going from active shooter to hockey?
If that's what you want to call it.
And I believe the Golden Knights will be opening up their regular home season there while we are in town.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We contemplated getting tickets, and they're like, but it's Vegas.
What, the company won't, you know, just dish out some bucks to go...
Well, I mean, we could probably try to finagle it, but would you want to go see the Vegas Knights?
Who are they playing?
Does it matter? It's their first home game ever.
Well, if it's Washington, you might want to, you know, you might be able to see Ovechkin get his third hat trick in a row.
It could be fun to see Holla, though, too, you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you could use the GIF again.
See? Yeah. Yeah. I haven't used the Holla GIF in a while, so. But then again, I'm not going to be watching the Vegas Knights as my primary watching anytime soon.
I mean, they're giving an excuse to use the Holla GIF again.
This is true. This is very true.
In a legit setting.
So, right. We've talked enough about Vegas and Holla. Let's talk about the Wild.
All right, let's get into it.
So, the Wild started off their season with 1 point in two games. Kind of disappointing. They did open up two separate home openers as the visiting team.
Yeah.
The first one, actually, they opened up a brand new arena in Detroit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Detroit just rolls off the tongue naturally.
Right.
Against Detroit on Thursday night, we have renamed Little Caesars Arena to the Pizza Box. So, if you hear the Pizza Box, that's what we're talking about. They lost...
Or Little Squeezers.
So, they lost to the Red Wings 2-4. Ran into issues in the first with a couple of goalie interference calls that took away two goals. They blew a 5-on-3 opportunity, went a total of 0-for-7 on the power play.
Not good.
And gave up back-to-back goals on a 5-on-3 and then the succeeding power play after that. It's kind of ugly for special teams for the Wild that game.
Yep.
Head coach Bruce Boudreau used up his challenge and lost his one and only timeout very early in the first with the first blown call, or goalie interference call, we shall say. Yeah. He was challenging an already reviewed play that the play was already on the review for like a good 5 minutes. You know, you have the same referee that originally missed the goal going into the net and told him to play on, who then reviewed his call, and then Boudreau basically asked him to review his review of the call. I mean, what was he thinking at that point? I mean, you know, what would you have done in his position? Would you have just let it flown? And
it was a ridiculous call on multiple levels, but the fact that he would even really the challenge should have gone to Detroit to challenge the
non-goal.
Right. The fact that Bruce Boudreau had to challenge the fact that it wasn't goalie interference was just a stupid series of events.
Yeah.
What referee is going to say, hey, I screwed up the first time by not whistling the puck dead, and then I went and reviewed it, and then I called a no goal. I'm going to just say I screwed up twice in saying that there was no goalie interference.
Right. It was a stupid situation. Boudreau obviously lost his timeout because of it. I don't know that it actually really changed a whole hell of a lot in the grand scheme of things. If you remember, there was an overhead view of Granny with his elbow out a little bit.
That was the second one.
Was it the second one?
That was the second one. Mm-hmm. The first one was with Foligno getting checked into Howard. Is it Foligno?
I can't remember who the exact player was.
But it was him getting basically checked into Howard, yeah. And he was on top of Howard. Because that was the one where there was the cluster around the net where the puck barely crossed over.
I'm getting all the goalie interferences confused at this right. point.
But I do want to talk about that second one
okay.
because of this whole thing. But continuing about the first, anybody else have anything they want to add to it?
No.
So the second one, and this is where I question Boudreau's theory about using up that first one, which I think was just kind of BS to begin with. You basically had Granny getting checked, as Aaron was alluding to, getting knocked over. So, I mean, if you look at it, he's basically on a half a skate blade as his elbow comes across Howard. You know, is that, would you consider that, I mean, Boudreau, if he would have held his challenge and challenged that play, you think that would have been overturned and it would have been at least one of those would have been a goal for the Wild?
I don't. I believe that one was challenged by Detroit, was it not? Following up on the... Because they wanted the goal called off, correct?
Oh.
So...
Yeah, you might be right.
Right. So, but regardless...
now I'm getting confused.
It is. This is kind of ridiculous.
We haven't even got to the second period yet.
Right. This is all the goalie interference calls. And what I want to say about it is that I think that while, yes, it should not be allowed that a player is allowed to interfere with a goalie, if a player has had contact made, sending him off balance, sending him in a direction that happens to be towards the goalie, I think that any incidental contact with the goalie at that point should be a moot point. I mean, if your own defenseman is throwing guys into you, that's your problem, you know? I mean, I think that it's getting a little bit too picky. And, yeah, I just don't... I mean, they've either got to, like, have it, like, a straight, like, you can't be in here, and if you happen to be checked and you run into the goalie, yes, it's, you know, any contact with the goalie is
a call. It would be easier if they just said, you don't touch the blue paint, period.
Yeah.
Right.
But obviously, the NHL doesn't want that. Otherwise, right. They would make that a rule.
Yeah.
Well, they keep shrinking it. Well, and then they're they
don't even shrink it. They don't do anything to it. They just make it nebulous, and so it's up to every ref staff's job to try to determine what the rules are, and it's just nebulous. Baloney, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. They should make it a straight, you know, any contact made with the goalie. Goal is called off, something like that. So
yeah, but at that point, then you can have your own defenseman essentially like
shove somebody into
throwing an offensive player into the goalie, and it calls it off.
Which is where I make my point. How it should be played is that if contact is made that forces a player towards a goalie, any incidental contact after that should not matter. An elbow flies up, so be it. He's trying to keep his balance. That's what I'm going to try to do when I'm out there on my skates.
Well, I think that's what we're all arguing here, yeah. and that's the fact that these were called off because of that, because they do call those off. I mean, right. if they see that the player, it's not on their own, like, it's not their fault that they get knocked into the goalie. But, I mean, these goalies, these referees were obviously seeing something else.
Yeah.
They were seeing red, apparently.
Well, if they'd call anything else, it's like, oh, it's in the crease, I better pay attention. And now I'm all of a sudden gonna pay attention to people getting checked into the goalie. Well, if you'd been paying attention to goddamn cross checks beforehand, you could have called the penalty 10 seconds ago.
Right. Cross checks from the back, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, now that's the funny thing is, like, you know, you get cross-checked into the goalie, and then you'll wave it off because, you know, it was incidental contact because of that.
Yep.
But you never call the original cross-check. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens all the time, and it's infuriating. It's like,
well,
it's unbelievably selective. It's
how can you have an embellishing and the tripping at the same time?
Right.
But you don't get an embellishment without the subsequential penalty he was embellishing for.
I don't have as much of a problem with that, because you could get tripped and then flail around like you just been had your legs cut off, you know, and you've embellished at that point.
Right.
You know? I do have a problem, though, when they wave off a call because of goaltender interference and then there's no penalty. That I have more of a problem with, because it's either goaltender interference or not.
Right.
You know, and last I checked, that's a penalty. So how do you only call it one way or and not the other, and not both sides? I don't get that point. Unless you're the refs and you're going, well, we missed that goaltender interference. Sorry, guys. I mean, I understand they can't
take that goal away from them.
We'll take the goal away. But I'm sorry, we can't call a penalty now.
Right.
You know, but that's the part that just drives me batty. I don't get it at all.
So the second game against Carolina, the Wild opened up, you know, somebody else's home arena home again.
Opener. Yep.
Zucker gets the very first power play goal of the season for the Wild.
Yep.
Wild still can't stay out of the box. Stalock stopped a whopping 10 out of 11 PKs. So that means that the Wild had 11 penalties against them. I mean, some of them were the getting, you know, Stewart getting kicked out for the second face-off infringement.
Oh, yep.
So, I mean, that was one of them. You know, but let's look at 11 minutes. That's 22 minutes. That's over a period worth of penalty minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's assuming that there were... I missed the first period, so, I mean, I'm presuming that they're all two-minute penalties on this.
So, yeah, pretty much, you know...
Two-thirds of the game they were in the box, at least.
No, a third of the game.
A third of the game. Yes. Sorry, yes. Yep. So, Stahl scores on a breakaway, now has scored against every team in the NHL except for the Vegas Knights that he has not played against yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then to highlight it, Koivu scores with 0.3 seconds left to bring the game to overtime in an eventual shootout. So, you know, a few highlights.
There was a couple highlights. I think that overall they played a fairly decent game. I mean, but, you know, yeah, like you say, they're, you know, on the penalty kill for a third of the game, and it's hard to play up when you're playing down, you know?
So, I mean, you know, just going to be blunt, I mean, what are your thoughts on Stalock in the Wild's goalie situation? Is he going to be a solid contender or a solid backup?
I feel confident in Stalock being a solid backup for us. I think that, you know, both Dubnyk and Stalock, they both had a couple of flashy saves in their outings.
Yeah, they did.
I actually feel that a couple Stalock of the ones...
Stalock had some massive highlight saves.
I feel that actually Dubnyk had, you know, maybe let in some softer goals, actually, than what I saw, you know, get past Stalock.
I think the one goal that Koivu kind of inadvertently poked in.
Right.
That was a little soft on Stalock there.
It was, but had it not been for
his own
player.
It was a defensive breakdown.
Yes.
But Koivu was really trying to
brush it to him.
And Stalock was way too high for the amount of commotion that was in front of the net at that point. Stalock should have been down. That should have not been underneath him.
I believe at that point, though, he was trying to transfer over to the other side of the net.
Maybe. Basically. I think my point is that, I think Stalock, I like Stalock. I really do. He's going to get a ding because he's not a big guy. And so he's going to maybe miss some shots that are to the edges. Because he
doesn't take up as much space.
He doesn't take up as much space. However, he is remarkably fast.
And agile, exactly.
He's very agile. He's
very quick on his skates.
But to that point, when you watch him compared to Dubnyk, Dubnyk is like Zen master, super calm, because he's got the limbs to make...
Yep.
He gets a little bit more of a break, actually, because of his size.
Mm-hmm.
And Stalock is very frenetic. It's like, you know, kind of bouncing all over the place.
Right, he's buzzing.
Yeah, he totally is. But I don't know. I was happy with Stalock's performance. I think the goals against him were pretty much defensive breakdowns, not because of anything that he had done. So, at least that's my perspective. So.
We're getting notifications.
All right. Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I still like Stalock's game. I think that having the smaller goalie compared to the bigger goalie as, you know, our backup, I think that that can actually end up being maybe a plus thing. I mean, because then you can even play more situational based on the way things, you know, the things are going, the team that you're playing. If you've got a team that's, you know, taking a lot of the long-range shots, you know, maybe you might be more likely to have Dubnyk in the net. If you've got, you know, teams that are, you know, doing a lot of cross-ice passing, you could play to the situation and have your, you know, more agile goaltender in there.
Well, I think he looked pretty good in the shootout, too. I mean, he got beat hard, but, you know, it is something that I think that would have beat almost any goalie in the NHL now. I mean, he just, he came up against a tough shooter. And the Wild didn't really do much in the shootout. Like, I mean, it was pretty lame.
No, this is true. I think at least as far as the first two games go, though, I don't think they were that bad, though, as far as the Wild's performance.
No, I mean, we're still missing Parisi, which hurts.
And in both games, the Wild had leads.
Yes.
You know, penalties you arguably kind of undid them. I think you can make an argument for that. That penalties kind of unraveled that. But they had leads early on.
Yep.
They just need to get there. I think it was Russo that was had pointed out they were playing very loose.
Yeah,
looser than the Wild normally play, and I think that was totally fair. You know.
Yeah.
However, they had leads early on. They just need to tighten up, and I'm hoping that as the season goes on, you know,
it's also transferring to W's.
We're getting goals from not just the first two lines.
Yeah.
We're getting goals.
They're getting spread around again,
and that's a good thing.
That is,
they're getting spread around by Jive's fantasy team.
No one cares about fantasy, and no one cares about Jive's fantasy team even more so.
Hey,
but you know, winning teams, they spread the scoring around, and the Wild are doing that.
Yep.
You know, defensively, they haven't put things together, but I'm okay with that. They're going. A lot of the goals that they seem to have been on when the Wild are pushing offensively and they just don't double back defensively quick enough.
Yeah.
And so if it continues that way, if they can just tighten that part up, I think the Wild will actually be all in a good spot.
So, all right.
All right.
Anything more on the week? Or
I think that's about it. I mean, it's kind of a slow week. I think we got a couple of those coming up. So. Mm. Well, it's slow as far as the amount of games.
We got to ease our way into the season, you know.
You
don't want to, you know, go all balls out just yet. How about we get into the weekly wild card then?
Ooh. So, I think it's going to be like the subject du jour.
At least for a while.
Amongst the league. I know we had a little bit of it during the preseason, but, you know, the NHL has really enabled referees to call penalties that were already on the books. We've had the slashing penalties. We've had the face-off, kick-out, you know, bench penalties. You know, with the slashing ones, you know, players chop at the upper shaft or stick near the hands of another player. Probably because, you know, players are losing fingers last year.
Thanks, Crosby.
So, you know, as far as the increased penalty calling, you know, it's not new rules. It's just they've been enabled... Yeah. Or encouraged, maybe
to enforce them,
to enforce the actual rules that are already there. What effect do you think it's having so far on the play this season?
Well, I think it's been, you know, I don't remember the last time that the Wild have had 11 penalties in a game without, like, you know, Bugard.
Right. Out on the ice. They're not that cheap of a team that they're taking that many penalties.
So, I mean, you know, maybe it'll help clean up some of these teams a little bit and make the game a little bit more pure. But honestly, I think it's just slowing everything down. I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I think there's times where you just got to let the guys play. But at the same time, you don't want guys losing fingers
over
this stuff either.
And, yeah, I really feel that, you know, likewise, it's slowing the game down a little bit. But then at the same time, it kind of opens it up, you know, if people are going to commit infractions that, you know, have been told we're calling this, it opens things up for, you know, maybe a little bit more scoring though too. And the NHL probably actually in general likes that because then it's going to be maybe a little bit more exciting game for the audience to watch.
Chicks dig the long ball, right?
That's right.
Well, I mean, basically, that's the whole theory. Yeah. Right?
I mean, I can kind of get with what they're doing because it's not like they're saying, okay, we need to just, you know, start analyzing everything and calling every little thing. They're kind of doing it in sections, and I think it's kind of the whole "I give you an inch, you take a mile" philosophy,
right?
Where certain things are starting to get a little bit more out of control. So it's like, let's crack down on this and that will kind of get under control. Next year, it'll be something else, you know, and it'll be cyclical. Give it 10 years and they're going to be back to slashing again, you know, just to kind of let them play here and there, but let's just kind of work on this until it starts getting out of hand again.
How come fighting hasn't made its way back into the game?
I don't think they ever really tightened down anything, honestly.
No.
I mean, not to the point where players are like, oh, the game is totally different, and now they soften it up.
I wouldn't say tighten. I would just say, like, you know, kind of watching their play a little bit more. And
I see. I mean, what they do is they just enforce the rules that are already there.
Sure.
I don't think it's a wave. I think it's more of like a stepped approach, like penalties, less penalties. Eventually, there's hopefully going to be fewer penalties because then we're just watching hockey. Because I don't.
Well, that's playoffs.
Right. Well, that's the best hockey because no one wants to watch all this chippy
guys
crap.
Sitting in boxes.
And, well,
we do.
You do if you're your team is the one that's on the power play.
Right.
But no one wants to watch.
Or
that.
If you have a podcast named Three in the Box.
Well, then we want three.
How many three in the boxes will we see this year with these
one.
Rules? Just yeah, one?
One so far.
So far. Well, but how many total?
That was Charlie Coyle. Number three in the box.
See? But hey, I got a button for that. Yeah.
Voice not needed.
But
oh yeah,
yeah.
To your point though, we're gonna probably see fewer and fewer of them. But I think that's what people want. I mean, who's with the exception of fighting? Because people there obviously there's a large enough contingent of people that still like fights in mm-hmm. a general sense. No one's going to a hockey game to watch a bunch of people slashing and committing actual penalties,
cross checking,
right.
Tripping,
because that just pisses people off. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know, odds are you might be pissing off your own fans with that sort of play.
Just, it's possible.
Well, there's some of it that definitely looks cheap.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, I don't want to see the cheap play, but again, I don't want every little tiny infraction being called because it's by the book.
Yeah,
I see. I think things should just be cleaner, and I'm okay with that. So.
I got my eye on the three of you guys. You pull one thing, you're out of this game.
All right.
I think that's that what we got?
Yeah, that's all we got.
What do we got coming up, Jeff?
All right. Coming up in movements. Here we go. First off, let's actually talk about a couple of injuries that we still got going on or starting on. We've got Parisi. He's still out with the back. I don't know. I know he's been skating. In practice, I'm guessing that hopefully when the team comes back to town here that he's going to be skating with them. And hopefully, I'm going to guess.
But we don't know that he's going to be back for game three, though.
We don't.
So
Not game three, but hopefully maybe by, for
mid-season.
Sure. hopefully maybe for sure by the home opener.
I think that was kind of our original.
Oh, that was the original. That he was going to miss at least two games.
At least two.
Yeah.
Just because, and then they had such a long break afterwards.
Right.
And then it's,
right.
I think we're in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then we're at
on
home.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Finally on Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, Chicago and then back home on Saturday. So, I mean, still looking to Saturday. I would, hope that, if they say he's looking good out there on skates, that, he's ready to go play the game. But. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But really, I mean, yesterday we had, let me finish up the injuries there. Cause we got Granlund too. He was out last night, with some sort of a lower body.
Playing the first game.
I thought I had right groin.
Well, he had a day off in between and they said it was a quote unquote maintenance day. And obviously he wasn't back yesterday, so it's more than a maintenance could fix.
Yeah,
So,
so the length of how long he's going to be out, we don't know. But I guess what my question really is at this point, like yesterday we dressed seven defensemen in the game. So are the options that we have for forward, are they enough to get us through, a long season? That's going to include, bumps and bruises. I mean, especially when a couple of our top players are already, sitting out some games here.
I think part of that, though, was we had Olofsson there who was scratched. And I think he was the only scratch that we had at, traveling with the Wild. Not saying that Iowa is that far away that they couldn't have pulled somebody from there, throw them on a plane. It's been done, but... I don't know. I'm going to guess that they were just going with the options that they had readily there, which would have been a 7D and, you know, skate 11 forwards.
Right. But, you know, why not, you know, that and that's my question, though, is do we have, you know, the depth at forward? Can we, you know, dip down into the Iowa Wild and bring somebody up who we feel comfortable with that's going to, or are we, you know?
Well, really, it's limited. If you look in chat, Felska's making a point that it is our cap space that is keeping us from pulling people up. And really, that comes to, it's Chuck Fletcher's fault that we can't pull up people.
No.
It is the deals to Parisi. It's the deals to Suter. It's the deals to Koivu. It's all the deals he's given out over time. It makes it so we have cap problems. And we're in the spot we are because of Chuck Fletcher. For good or for worse. For better or for worse. Yeah, that's where we're at.
So
in all regards. You know, would it be good to pull up someone else? Probably. You know, Cunningham might be a good person to have up now.
Or maybe, you know, even if we're going to have to go this route, do we have a defenseman that we want to, you know, maybe do a Brett Burns type switcheroo type thing, you know?
That might have been what they're kind of maybe going to try playing around with.
I mean,
I don't see any of those defensemen up there that.
Well, I mean,
I could see actually Dumba like playing a good forward position.
Didn't Dumba play forward down in?
I think Dumba or Riley. I think you could push into a forward position. Unfortunately, none of them are like they're not going to be power forwards because they don't have the size to do that. But you know that I think they're both guys that could fill that spot.
Yeah. And I mean, even when you look at somebody like Spurgeon, you know, he's great defensively, but, you know.
I don't think I'd move Spurgeon off of the D line. Watching him play, especially last night against Carolina, he had some very
defensive,
very
plays,
good defensive plays. And I mean, he definitely showed why he should be top pairing next to Suter.
I've been a little bit disappointed with him on the offensive side of things so far this season. But yes, defensively, I feel Spurgeon has been rock solid. And just like you say that, you know, I don't really want to move Matt Dumba out of our, you know, defensive pairings because, you know, he does still make a couple of those rookie mistakes.
He's not a rookie anymore, though. That's a problem.
He's not a rookie anymore. But I think that the upside for him is still most valuable to us. And usually, if he is making a mistake, he's able to recover somewhat. So,
I haven't seen Aaron. Did you just post about Brodin, or was that Felska?
That was me.
Brodina, I was going to say, would probably be the closest to what we have to somebody even close to like what Burns was, where Burns was very offensive-minded.
Brodin is not offensive-minded.
He is not offensive-minded.
Not Brodin. Who am I? I'm sorry. Crap.
It's really...
We don't really have...
It's like Dumba, Riley maybe, and Riley hasn't scored much in the NHL, so... Enough for me to go, he's hands down our next Brent Burns, you know. I think he has the capability of doing that. He hasn't shown it, though, at the NHL level. Dumba at least can throw a clapper down, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and then we had mentioned, though, we got a couple of games coming up here this week. First off, we're playing at Chicago. Chicago, so far, they're 2-0 on the season already, and they're basically just punishing their opponents. I mean, they've outscored their opponents 15-2 so far this season.
They smoked Pittsburgh.
They did.
Like 10-1.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, and then they actually beat who we have our home opener against, the Columbus Blue Jackets. They beat them 5-1. That's pretty handily as well, I believe. You know,
5-1 is decisive.
Yes,
10-1 is ridiculous. That's not sustainable.
No.
At least 5-1, that's like, that is manhandling, at least at that point.
Wait, who won the cup and who got knocked out first round again? Last year? It's a different season, I mean.
It is. Every season.
You got no Flurry.
No.
So that we got Chicago and then we have our home opener next Saturday. When do you guys think the Wild are going to get their first W? Do you think we'll see it before they make it back home here? Is it going to happen at home? Are we going to have to wait another week or so for this?
Well,
when's it going to happen?
It's going to happen this week.
This week.
Coming up. It'll happen this week.
Before they get home?
I would love to see them do it to Chicago in Chicago just because, I mean, that...
Too bad it's going to happen at home against Columbus.
Unfortunately, I think you're right, Aaron. I would absolutely love to see them just shut down Chicago in Chicago, though.
So, but when do they get the W is what I'm asking.
I think it's going to be at home. I think I have to agree with Aaron on this one. I think it's going to be at home.
Yeah, it's going to be at home?
It's going to be at home.
And I got unfortunate news for you guys because...
we're wrong?
I've just got a bad feeling about this. And we're probably going to end up, waiting till... at least a couple podcasts down the road before we talk about a solid win.
Ooh.
Well, next week, if we come back and they lose these two games, it won't be till our next podcast that we're talking about a W.
It's going to be a ways away.
Yeah. I was going to say it in November.
Well, thank God the Wild won't play like four games in all of October at this rate.
This is true. Yeah. Well, we got like 30 in fucking March.
Right. We get St. Patrick's Day off, and that's it.
Then you really don't have it off because you're going to be wasted drinking green beer.
No, Bud Light.
Bud Light.
Yeah. Green Bud Light.
Green Bud Light, yeah.
All right. Ugh. Should we get on into the Twitter questions?
Yeah, what do our friends and fans have to say?
All right.
I suppose this is a question I have to ask, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. I'm still trying to figure out my Chromebook here, so bear with me. First question from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Koivu attempted his patented move in the shootout loss to Carolina and was stopped. Is it time to get a new move or no?
I
was just going to say, I don't think that was not his patented move.
No,
but at the end,
he tried
to go back to it.
It was too late, though. It wasn't his textbook move. It was like, oh, I'm going to try to move this in. Because
he even started off on the other side of the ice.
So he tried to force it in, and it just,
I think had he gone with his patented move, he might have been better off.
Probably, because the shot he had was pretty lame.
Burp.
And usually, and let's be honest, when he does have his patented move, it's at least close enough where even when he misses, you're like, that could have got in.
Had a chance.
That one looked like it had no chance.
But if it is well rehearsed, you're not going out there necessarily, making things up on the fly. There, you're going in there with a plan, and you know what you're going to do.
Even with his patented move, though, he's got goalies moving side to side.
Right.
He did not have.
There was no movement.
There was no movement. He was just beat the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather see his patented move and see him change it up at the end. Still start from the same side, still go for that backhand top shelf like he normally does, but have the option.
Yeah, Darling had his number the whole way through.
And yeah.
It's like it didn't look like Darling was going to be challenged at all on that one.
All right, next question comes in from at Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Alex Ovechkin is the second player in NHL history to net a hat trick in the first two games of the season. Do you think he will win the Art Ross?
It's Ovechkin. He's always in contention for the Art Ross.
Always in contention. It's still early in the season. He could go out with an injury here.
The Wild don't play Caps, I don't think, for a while. So, honestly, let him get hat tricks in his first five games. That'd be great to see.
I'm thinking that like somebody in that division out there should maybe get Tanya Harding to play on their team and just have her play like only when they play the Capitals.
Well, except for Ovechkin, probably hip check her into the boards.
Well,
not if her stick gets him first.
Well, you got to remember that Ovechkin's on pace for 287 goals this year. So
at the current rate.
That's not going to happen.
Wait, it could.
Gretzky who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario Lemieux who?
Yeah.
Lemieux who?
Yeah, Jaromir Jagr who?
Lemieux who?
Lemieux who? It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
I was thinking the chocolatey drink.
Oh, you who? Lemieux who? Yeah, but Jagr still has a chance to do it.
He's still scored 287 goals.
Hey, he's still in the league.
If there's any player in the league today that you think could even hit 100, Ovechkin would be on most of our short lists, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? God, that's a lot of goals. When you really think about that,
like, even 100, that's one per game plus.
Yeah, that's a lot of goals, man.
It is.
All right. Next question, Kenny.
From, oh crap. My thing was in the wrong.
You guys
thing.
In your Chromebooks.
There we go. From Jay Bushy 19. Yeah, three in the box. I know it's early, but am I a little concerned about the D? Very soft D zone. Thoughts. Are we worried about the soft D?
I think defensively, I'm not actually too worried right now so far.
I'm working on it, Kenny.
What I'm looking at here.
The guy with the samples is not paying attention here.
Oh.
Sorry. That's what she said.
Okay. Are you worried about the soft D?
That's what she said.
There you go.
Sorry. I was worried about answering the question here. You know,
there was so much D in that question. You should have been like just on that one.
I mean, the D was on the tip of Kenny's tongue the whole time.
Just because you look like the GIMP don't mean you play like the GIMP.
Finger on the trigger, man. Finger on the trigger.
All right. So, but anyways, but I'm, not, but I
don't,
I'm not...
don't have the soft D on the trigger either. Or on your finger.
All right.
Make sure it's a hard D.
I am not worried about our defense at this point. I think that defense is probably the least of our worries on this team right now. I think that we're pretty solid with our suitors and our suitors are Spurgeons.
So you like the gliding D?
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Brodine. I mean, I think that we've got a good list of solid defensive players. I hope that the Wild, you know, continue to open things up and try to create more offense, actually. So I'm satisfied with our D.
That's what she said.
Oh boy.
We'll just leave that question where it lies.
We'll just leave this right here.
Okay, right. So I'm not concerned about the defense. I'm just gonna I'll throw that out there.
No,
it's early enough.
The fact
season,
that we just played with 7D last game, I'm okay with it.
That's what she said.
All right. Next question.
All right. Next one. Go ahead.
From Derek Falska. Last time someone did this, I think we might be missing part of the question.
I think Jai was mixing up questions and then didn't get some of them back to back. I think he was going with Ovechkin. I think that's a tie onto the Ovechkin one. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is this the two-parter?
No. Yep, yeah, that was a two-parter. Okay, so the first part for that is, Maple Leafs are the second team in the NHL history to score over 6 goals in the first 2 games. Pittsburgh won the cup the last time someone did this. Will the Maple Leafs end the Stanley Cup drought this year, or is that just a weak stat? That's where that all kind of falls on.
Okay.
So Aaron, me and you just kind of like
shared a question. The first 2 games don't matter, so no one cares. Just like Ovechkin won't score 287 goals.
Well, I mean, technically Ovechkin got like 7 goals in the first 2 games, so does that count for a stat?
Well, it is a stat.
Which would mean that Washington
It is a stat. Is it meaningful? No. I mean,
well, over six goals in the first two games. So six goals in each of the first two, not six goals.
But still, it's not any stat can exist. It doesn't mean it's meaningful.
Well,
you know?
That's like
there's a concept called small sample size. And like, these are small sample size.
Like FSN. Oh, in the last seven games. Well, what about game eight?
No, that is a different thing. That is cherry picking. You know, that's a different logical fallacy.
Way to go, Jared Boy.
So FSN does cherry picking. The rest of the league does small sample size. And there's probably some circular logic thrown in there on top of that. So, in summation, the Leafs won't win anything because they're the Leafs, and that's the way everyone should be feeling good about that.
Kind of like the Cubs will never win a World Series until last year.
At least the Cubs are lovable.
Yes, this is true.
The Leafs are not lovable.
Who loves a Leaf?
I like Leafs. Except for when they're falling all over my yard.
Yeah, but see,
like they're a pain in the butt at the end of the season.
Cubs are great.
But imagine if the Yankees were like this team that everyone in the biggest market for the league loved and they always lost. It would be just delicious.
I would love it if the Yankees would just always lose.
And Toronto, the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, not Leafs, Maple Leafs.
Leaves.
They are Maple Leaves.
Yes.
Yes, I that's how the Canadians say it, is Leafs.
They are not the Yankees of hockey.
Every fall they rake their Leafs.
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love Sagers.
But basically, they are the center of the hockey universe for a large segment of the hockey universe. And the fact that they lose every year is delightful.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Moving on.
Next question comes in from E.B. Kelly. 3ITB, how about all the penalties being called? When are the Zebras going to let up? Or will they? E.B. Kelly's comment... slows down the game.
We kind of bashed through this earlier in the segment.
It does slow down the game a ton.
Yes.
So I think the league's thought is hopefully players will learn and we'll have less penalties.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're working overtime, sucker.
And you're not getting paid more.
Yeah.
I like it when I'm running late so I can actually, maybe come in at the beginning of the second rather than in the middle of a game because the first period went so slow.
So you're okay with penalties?
Only when I'm running behind. when I'm on jive time, I like penalties.
So you're thinking like the Twins game, their one wild card game last week where I believe the first inning was something like 45 minutes long or I can't remember.
Well, there was also six runs in the first inning.
Well, right. And that's the thing is the inning took so long for one inning that should take, 15, 20 minutes to play. But okay. So, all right. But yeah, I definitely think it slows down the game. When will they let up?
Give it mid-season.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a parent.
Beginning of December.
I'm a parent and I know how it is to lay down the law and lay down the rules, and then
it takes a while for them to get in their thick heads that they got to change their play.
Well, it takes that, but then also sometimes you just get tired of enforcing the rules. It's just like
whatever.
I'm done.
All right, we got more D talk here. From Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist.
That's what she said.
The Wild's defense near the crease is softer than baby poo. Is this just because Scandella's gone, or is it something more?
Scandella wasn't that solid on D anyway.
He was a little tougher. A little more physical.
Spurgeon's still there. Suter's still there. Brodin's still there. Those are your three defensemen.
And they
should be holding that down.
Right. And our defensemen, I can agree that, they're not the, they're going to beat them down when they're in front of the net. They're not that style of defensive players.
No, they're not.
They're good with their sticks, though. When
that's
you,
what she said.
That's what she said.
Thanks.
Way to go, Pierre.
Humangas, big.
But yeah, I mean, the way that they can make plays like that, I think that we are in good shape. I would like to see, you know, somebody like Olofsson, hopefully maybe this year, step up and, you know, become a bigger part of the team. And, you know, so we do have some size, or maybe Brodin, you know.
Well, I do think
I wish Brodin would make more of a presence.
Well, and I do think that in the preseason that Olofsson played a little more physical than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And even Brodin, I felt, was a little more physical.
Yeah.
Little. I'm emphasis on little.
Right.
I felt Olofsson was definitely more of a presence.
Yeah.
But I think you're also getting a lot of more physical presence from your forwards this year.
I was actually going to bring up, you had brought that up during the Detroit game, that, I mean, we're just mobbing Detroit, at least at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, maybe the first period and a half, two periods.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the physicality of the Wild is something that I haven't seen them actually come out and, like, do without being, like, egged into it. Like, playing against St. Louis, where St. Louis would come out hitting, and all of a sudden the Wild would start hitting just as a response.
Right.
Like, they were the ones initiating that physicality. And, you know,
so violent and dangerous.
You'd see a little bit with the D, but I think most of the D was actually keeping, they were doing a better job of keeping that puck out in front of Dubnyk at that point, where they're breaking up the plays before the puck even, you know, came to Dubnyk, or before that crowd got around the net, where it was necessary for them to kind of step up and play that part. Right. Just an observation.
Yep. All right, next question from at EB Kelly. What do you think of Stalock's performance? Too early to anticipate how he'll be as a backup. I know we covered this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I will add that... you know, you have to compare him to his predecessor. So, Stalock compared to Kemper. I think Stalock is quicker. I think Kemper, because of his size, was allowed to have a little bit more of a... He could play a little slower.
Moo.
Moo cow, yes. So, I think Kemper, you know, kind of got a pass just because of his size.
Pass or pasture?
Boo. Yes. That was a bad one.
Not a dad.
But Stalock, I think, you know, he moves really quickly, and I think for a quote-unquote short guy at 6 feet tall, you know, he gets around the net just fine. I actually get a little more worried, though, when he's playing outside of the net.
But he's quick, though. I mean, he gets back super fast.
He skates very well, and actually handles the puck pretty well outside the net for the most part. I know there was a point in the game yesterday where he came out almost to mid-ice.
He's an offensive goalie.
He is an offensive goalie. So I'm okay with him at this point.
Yeah, I like him. It's a different style of play.
And considering there's, like, you know, 100 shots on goal last night, I don't...
Most of them not by the Wild.
I don't have too much of a
period's worth of power play or penalty kill. I mean,
right. I mean, it's hard to put a lot of blame on Stalock for giving up 4 goals when he faced so many shots. So
yeah, I definitely don't think that his display last night was anything to be benching a guy over or anything. I think that
a goalie would have to have been standing on his head to do point, better
right.
than what Stalock did. Yeah. I mean, he played NHL level hockey.
Yeah. No disappointments there. Our last question of the week here comes in from Crease and Assist. 3 in the box. Jaromir Jagr surprised the traveling Jagrs, who traveled all the way up to Calgary to see him play for the Flames. Is this cool or is this creepy?
What, the traveling Jagrs or Jagr surprising them?
I don't know.
It's both. or no, actually, I would say it's cool all around. I'll say it's cool all around.
I mean,
I don't know what would be creepy about a bunch of guys dressing like the. Okay, wait, saying out loud is like, okay, that's kind of creepy.
Hey,
are they all going home with 18-year-olds that are going to threaten them with?
I think that's what they're hoping.
Well, okay.
Well, that's a problem. You know.
So then it becomes creepy.
Exactly.
All right.
So I think our it's unanimous. It was cool, creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy cool.
You know what? I'm happy to have Yager back in the league. I was hoping he was going to get picked up by somebody.
Is this his first team in the West?
Ooh, maybe.
Oh. I mean, because he's played primarily for Eastern teams throughout his career.
Yeah. He's going to be, and he's an old man. He's going to be falling asleep like third period of the games.
He's like,
the news is over. I'm going to bed.
Sniffing salt. Just keep him down at this end.
Wheel of Fortune is done. I need to go to sleep.
Right. Have you guys seen the pictures of the traveling Yagers?
Yeah.
I mean, they have every jersey from every team that he's worn. It's kind of crazy to see, like, eight different jerseys at one hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all the same guy.
So this is only the second West team he's been with.
The
other
LA?
One was Dallas.
Dallas.
He played half a season with Dallas back when he was a spry 40-year-old a few years back. So
just a few.
Primarily East teams. So I think that's it. Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Well, if they're lucky, they can find me on a lake somewhere, but I don't think this weather's gonna hold.
It's winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Yes. But otherwise, Nostra Kenius. On Twitter or Instagram is basically where you can find all the important stuff.
All right. Jive, how about you?
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn or on Instagram at The Angry Finn. Differentiation
Some
there.
Some bastard took your name.
That bastard, faster, angrier Finn, I guess, maybe. Anyway.
The quicker, angrier Finn.
Yeah.
The quicker picker. Upper, angrier, fin.
Yeah,
I don't know where I was going with that.
Anyway, thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at @3inthebox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, #3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show. You can listen to our podcast at our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. Go out to iTunes or Google Play Music or wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, because that's how other people will find us. Please do that, because... Where else are we going to find three guys talking about the Wild?
Yeah.
For the longest time.
Spread the word.
We've been talking forever.
We're the original underground bootleg podcast.
I think that means they want you guys to shut up now.
All right. Thank you, guys.